Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We are focusing on families this morning, and the message this morning is entitled Family Ties. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, he's talking about suffering and persecution. Suffering and persecution. And then in chapter 3, he goes into talking about marriage and family. Now, I know none of you would equate marriage and family to suffering and persecution, but Peter talks about that, and I want us to focus on that marriage and family today. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love of as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Father, bless your word this morning. Give us understanding from on high. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, one of our most precious of all relationships is marriage and family, the marriage and family relationship. Marriage and family relationships are special and they are sacred. They are sacred because they are God-made. They are God-instituted and they are God-ordained. You see, God instituted the church. God instituted the family and God instituted the marriage. And God instituted the marriage as a sacred union. A sacred union between one man and one woman, and any other definition of marriage is ungodly and unbiblical, to say the least. And so we see here that Peter addresses marriage and family issues. He speaks to the wife, he speaks to the husband, and he speaks to the family as a whole, whether it be a literal family, physical family, whether it be a church family, or any other close family type group. And we see here that he encourages unity and compassion and love and restraint. And those are key ingredients that are essential for any relationship to be healthy, for any healthy relationship. And though our society in many ways is growing increasingly anti-family and anti-marriage, and increasingly antagonistic toward raising godly children, God has always been and will always be pro-family and pro-marriage. Well, first of all, we can see from our text this morning that God speaks to the wives. Now, wives, don't think just because you're being spoken to first that Peter or God is picking on you. And so we see that he speaks first to the wife there in verse 6. He says, "Wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any not obey the word..." In verse 1, that also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. And he talks about in verse 2 that the importance of a godly conversation. And then in verses 3 and 4, he talks about adorning the inward, the person, more so than focusing on adorning the outward or the external physical appearance. So three things really stand out in these verses in regards to the wife. And those three things are, she is encouraged to have a submissive heart. She's encouraged to have a godly conversation and an inward beauty. And first of all, Peter tells wives in verse 1 to have a submissive heart, to submit to their own husbands. Now, submissiveness does not equate inferiority. Submissiveness does not mean that the wife has a diminished personhood. It in no way diminishes the wife's womanhood. It in no way suggests that the husband can simply lord over and enslave his wife and mistreat his wife in any way. Husbands and wives are both made in the image of God. They are co-partners, co-equals, one flesh for life. And so, in fact, both husband and wives, really, if you look at what Scripture's saying, in a sense, are to submit to one another, that they are to give themselves to one another, submit to one another, and tend to the needs of their spouse. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 to you. It expresses that very sentiment. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For even the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, what did He do? He submitted Himself to earthly authority for the church. He gave Himself for the church. And wives are to submit to their husbands. Husbands are to honor the wife, love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So husbands and wives are to give themselves to one another, and both are to submit to the Lord, to His lordship. We'll also see that the husband, when we get to husbands, is the spiritual leader of the home. And it's important for us to talk about what that means so that we have a biblical understanding of what it means to be a spiritual leader of the home. But not only does he talk about having a submissive heart to the wife, but he talks about godly conversation. He speaks of wives winning over the unbelieving husband with godly conversation, which is more accurately translated godly behavior in verse 1. He says, "If any husband obey not the word." You see, Scripture warns believers of marrying unbelievers, of not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, because it causes all sorts of problems in the marriage and in the family. Because usually the ungodly influence of the unbeliever negatively influences the godly influence of the believer. The believing spouse that finds themselves in that situation is encouraged to be faithful and to commit themselves to godly conversation, godly influence. Why? For the purpose of trying to win over the unbelieving spouse to the Lord. But not only does it talk about a submissive heart and a godly conversation so that you might in some way win over your unbelieving spouse with your godly conversation, but next, Peter encourages wives to focus on inward beauty. Inward beauty. More so than outward beauty. We live in a culture and a time where it tells girls that outward beauty is everything. And that we teach girls in our society that inward beauty is not important, that outward beauty is all that matters, but God looks not at external outward appearances. God looks not at our outward adornment. God sees and judges the heart. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about, in verse 3, he says, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price." Now, this is not suggesting or prohibiting jewelry or makeup or dress, but what he's talking about there is cautioning against focusing on beautifying the outward appearance, beautifying the physical appearance, the external, while neglecting the inner qualities of the heart. God wants us to focus on the inner man, much more so than we focus on our outward appearance. As followers of Christ, it's far more important that we focus on being beautiful on the inside, more so than being beautiful on the outside. So Peter here says that we are to emphasize those inner qualities of the Holy Spirit reigning in our life, the fruits of the Spirit, than outward beauty and appearance. So here, Scripture encourages the wife to have a submissive heart, to have a godly conversation and an inward beauty. But not only does the text speak to the wife, but it also speaks to the husband. It has a great deal to say, even though there's only one verse that specifically speaks to the husband. It's a very powerful verse, and it has a great deal to say to us as men and fathers and husbands. Look at verse 7. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So here in this verse, it speaks to the husband. And three things really stand out in relation to the husband here. One is that the husband is the spiritual leader of the home. That is, the husband has the God-assigned task of bringing the home, the family, the wife, the children closer to the Lord. And that the husband is to dwell with the wife, and the husband is to honor the wife. So God places a great responsibility on the husband, and to whom much is given, much is required. And the man, the husband, the father, is given the mantle of headship of the family. Just as Jesus is the head of the church, just as Christ is the head of the church, the husband, the man, the husband, the father, is the head of the family. Why? Because his chief role is to be the chief priest of the home, the spiritual leader of the home. Just as a pastor would be a spiritual leader of a church, the husband, the father, is the spiritual leader of the home, and it is to that end that God will judge him. Notice he says to the husband to dwell with the wife. In other words, the husband is to remain in the home, remain with the wife, remain with the family, to stay there. I like to call this the stay put rule. You see, because we've made it so easy in our society to throw up our hands and quit and walk away and leave. To leave the family, to leave the home, and to walk away from wives and from our children. But yet we cannot love and honor and cherish and care for and spiritually lead our wives and children if we are not there, unless we dwell with them. And so it's interesting here that Peter tells us to dwell with them. As men, as husbands, as fathers, our primary place of influence is at the home. It's with the home, in the marriage and family relationship and context. No one else can fill that role of husband and father but you. Listen, you can be replaced on your job. You can be replaced at work. You can be replaced at church. You can be replaced everywhere else. But you cannot be replaced at home. God says in the Word here for us to dwell in the home. But also notice that He tells us to honor our wives. We're to dwell with our wives and our family. We're to honor our wife. So He tells us to honor the wives. Wives and mothers deserve honor. Wives and mothers serve in a very honorable position. And they deserve honor. And when I was associate pastor at a church in the late 90s, I worked with a pastor who was a great preacher and teacher. I learned a lot of things from him. But one thing I noticed about him is he always spoke down to his wife. He spoke to her in a very demeaning and disrespectful, condescending way. And she really embodied verse 4, the meek and quiet spirit that was in the sight of God a great price. And even publicly, I thought if this man would speak to his wife this way publicly, I would hate to see how he spoke to her privately. I was embarrassed for her. That's not giving honor. We are to hold our wives in high regard. We are to treat our wives in a respectful manner, in an honorable way. Why? So that our prayers, look at verse 7, so that our prayers are not hindered. We're to dwell with our wives. We're to be the spiritual leader of the home. In other words, we're to have a spiritual influence in our marriage, with our children, and in our home. That's what God expects of us. We're to dwell with the family. We are to honor our wives so that our prayers are not hindered. Remember, men, we are the spiritual leader of the home. That is, we are the ones to encourage prayer. We are the ones to encourage Bible study, the study of God's Word. We are the ones to encourage church activity in our home. We are the ones to lead our families to the Lord. That's what God expects of us as husbands and as men. So many families today are broken. So many families today are fractured and suffering and wayward. And it's largely because as men, as husbands, as fathers, we have failed to spiritually lead. We are living in a time and a day today where we have an epidemic of absentee fathers. So many homes that have no influence of spiritual leadership from a man. And oftentimes in many families, the wife, the mother, or maybe even a grandmother has to spiritually lead. And praise God for their efforts, because if they weren't spiritually leading, there would be no spiritual leadership at all in that home and in those children's lives. Thank God for mamas and grandmamas who pray with their children, who teach tell the old story to their children, who get their children up, who feed them breakfast, get them dressed, and bring them to God's house to worship and to learn about the Lord. While the man is out fishing or hunting or watching football or whatever it is that he's doing. That is reality in many homes today. And so we see, I appreciate wives and mothers filling that role, but they should not have to shoulder that burden. They should not have to shoulder that burden, because men, that is our responsibility. That is our God-given responsibility. God expects us to spiritually lead in the home. God's ideal is for the wife and the family, the children, to submit to the husband and father, because he is the one tasked by God to be the spiritual leader of the home. He is the one that is expected by God to spiritually lead the home, to bring the Word of God to the home, to use His godly influence in the home, and to protect His home from the harmful influences of the world that creep into the home and into the family. In short, the husband, the father, is to bring God to the family and to bring the family to God. But not only does this passage of Scripture speak to the wife, not only does it speak to the husband, but it also speaks to the family as a whole, to the entire family unit there in verses 8 through 12. Here Peter speaks to the family. He encourages oneness. He encourages unity. He encourages being of one mind and having a compassionate love for one another and being merciful, having pity upon one another. Having a home, a family, a church that's wrought with kindness, that's characterized by loving kindness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our churches followed this rule in verses 8 through 12? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our churches exhibited these qualities? How we could grow a church and honor the Lord if we were in one mind, if we were compassionate, if we were loving and kind toward one another. Remember what happened on the day of Pentecost when the church was in one mind and one accord? All of the wonderful things that took place. Oh, how God was able to work through them and use them because they were united. They weren't wrought with conflict, but they were in one mind and in one accord. So many today have turned away from churches because those characteristics are lacking in many congregations today. And how we need these qualities in the home and in the family today. Listen, there are enough things attacking the family from the outside. We don't need additional things attacking the family from within. If families are going to stay strong today, if families are going to stay vibrant and healthy, if families are going to stay intact today, then the family, especially the husband and wife, the marriage relationship, must be strong in the Lord, must be rooted and grounded in the Lord, must be united, grounded in the Word, seasoned in prayer, and compassionate and kind and loving toward one another. Those are to be the foundation of the home. If those things are not the foundation of the home, then the home is in danger of crumbling and collapse. The home's very foundation must be built on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our lives must be built on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not building our life on that foundation, then we're building on sinking sand. Our homes and families and marriages and relationships with our children are to be built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. If we're not building it upon that, we're building upon sinking sand. Our church family, our churches are to be built on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if it's not built on that foundation, it's built on a foundation that will soon crumble and fall. The home, the family, our lives are to be centered on Jesus Christ. Here, Peter gives practical instructions to us, practical instructions for living. Here he speaks to the wife, to the husband, and to the family. Why? So that the man of God, so that the woman of God, the family of God, the child of God might be fully equipped, standing strong and firm regardless of what the world throws at us, regardless of what comes our way, that our lives are built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Someone was once quoted as saying, "So goes the family, so goes the nation." I believe there's a lot of truth to that today. I think Peter thought so too. That's why Peter, as he was addressing early Christians here, as he was addressing the early church, he took time to build up the marriage and to build up family relationships along the way. I think that we would do well this morning that as we seek to minister to others, as we seek to meet the needs of others, that we be mindful to remember the greatest ministry we have, the greatest place of influence we have, the most urgent calling we have today is within our homes, within our marriages, and within our families. Here, Jesus speaks to us, encouraging us to build our lives, not on the things of this world, those things that are temporal, but those things that are built upon eternity, to build our lives on the things of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, the power of your word, and the truth of your word. Father, we thank you that you instituted the home and the marriage and the family and the church. And Lord, you've blessed us with our families. You've blessed us with a church family. And you've blessed us with an earthly family. Father, we're thankful for that. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to heed your word. And you would help us to live lives that are filled with loving kindness and grace and compassion. And that you would help us to live lives that honor you and your word. Lord, speak to our hearts today during this time of invitation. Lord, if anyone here today doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, this invitation is for them. Speak to their heart. Perhaps someone is here today and they need to rededicate, recommit their life to you. Lord, whatever your will is, Lord, have your will and your way in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.